You're watching Notepad. I'm your host, Ibrahim Sani. The pandemic ravages on around the world, but in Malaysia, we are slowly realizing the option of moving from the pandemic situation to an endemic one. And while various states across the country are going through different stages of the national recovery plan, one thing is for sure. The immunization program is a success and we are seeing high rates of vaccination across the country. However, there are some holdouts, particularly in the states of Sarawak, Terengganu and the likes. But otherwise, everyone is embracing the fact that we're going to return to normal sometime soon. Having said that, a survey conducted by the Ministry of Health Malaysia has found that more than 4/5 of us, or 80% of us, have used our own income for health services, while 35% have resorted to using savings. The conversation that needs to be had is this. How do we protect ourselves when it comes to health moving forward? Do we need to buy better insurance? Does the government need to improve on its service delivery system, particularly public healthcare system? Or is there other solutions that needs to be discussed? Because of this, I have with me Encik Wan Saiful Rizal Wan Ismail, CEO of Prudential BSN Takaful, joining us in this conversation today. Wan, thank you for taking the time to speak with us. Let's talk about some of the current trends that are currently happening. You, of course, being a Takaful provider, you are into life, you are into health. What have you seen when it comes to the trend of Malaysia and Malaysians moving forward during the pandemic, and how has this changed prior to the pandemic?
Well, thanks a lot, Ibrahim, for first of all inviting me to the show. And I like your opening that we are starting to move from pandemic and to endemic. And to me, as part of the trend, expectations and the how we plan to move the business forward, I've always advised my team to look at this. You know, COVID is going to be with us for a long time. Endemic is going to be for a long period. So how do we navigate ourselves, recognizing the trends that that will happen? Okay, I guess first of all, in terms of the key trends that we see, the awareness of the importance of financial protection actually gets elevated during the pandemic period. Previously, people thought that, you know, things would never happen to them. They feel a bit more invincible. But now, given the various stats that have actually been reported, we can see that people's perception of that invisibility perhaps becoming a bit more fragile and becoming a bit more real, especially if this, they see the circumstances impacting their family members, their relatives, their friends, and also their work colleagues. So the awareness have increased, and what we clearly see from trends, whether through inquiry to our website, through feedback to our distribution force, through our customer service centers, there's a more demand in relation to financial protection itself. But the next trend that we see is also in relation to the different issue of the income, impact to income arising from the pandemic. Some people have their income impacted, and hence, how do you cater for the protection for this group of people, for them, as well as the B40. And so for us, during the throughout the pandemic, we have actually focused a lot more in terms of our affordable line of products and channel that a little bit more, and probably and do a lot more campaign in order to encourage the take-up, the awareness and take-up. Also, in relation to the affordability, we know that the B40 segments is particularly exposed. And recently, we have also actually introduced Micro Takaful product through our bank partner, Bank Simpanan Nasional, where it allows the B40 to take up financial protection at very affordable contribution. Example is RM55 per year for RM10,000 coverage. While 10,000 may not sound big, especially for the world, the middle income people, but for the B40 is actually quite meaningful and will help weather through the uncertainties that they face.
Yeah, but my question was about trends, the market trends that you see during the pandemic versus prior. Let's address that.
Okay. So I think like I mentioned just now, the market trends, we can see more demand for more affordable type of products. And hence, that's why I think a lot of the market focuses on the affordable line of products itself. Second is in relation to digitized services and solution. There are more demand for digitized services. So for example, our payments channel, right? Prior to the pandemic, we have a mixture of still people paying via cash, checks, and all that. And after the pandemic happened, the demand for online payment, e-wallet payment, and all that has all increased. So as a telephone operator, we need to keep with times in order to offer those kind of e-solutions to the customers. And cash and check is almost nearly eliminated right now in terms of how people pay their contribution, at least from previous end perspective. So that digitized demand for digital delivery and digital services. And I guess the third one is in relation to the vulnerabilities that happen and how it affects the people during the pandemic. So for example, the pandemic also gives rise to awareness of mental health. So high mental health awareness as compared to previously. And in order to tap into that, that's why even solutions that we roll out recently, actually example, we have a lady plan, which actually covers mental health illnesses as well. So that's kind of that trend in terms of the shift in that demand.
Why is it just protecting the woman? Men don't suffer mental health, or how is it structured in the insurance world?
Okay, so we do our focus group. We do our various market testings and all. And what we find out, it's not men don't suffer from it. It's just more in terms of we will offer similar products to the men in due course. It's more when we look at it, the awareness in terms of mental health issues and the discussions around mental health issues amongst women, they are more prevalent. And hence, that's the reason why we introduce it first for women. Of course, we will follow suit for the other segments as well.
Is it in the pipeline very soon, something that you're going to announce this year maybe, or it's still way down the line?
It's work in progress currently. Given that we are towards the end of this year, we are actually planning our product pipeline for next year. And inshallah, we hope to target that for next year onwards.
So this is the thing, right? I'm a customer of ProBSN, both life and health. And how I came aboard your company as a customer is through a human face-to-face interaction. There is an agent that I can call every now and then. This high human touch is extremely crucial for me to not just understand the product better, but to navigate this important, not necessarily urgent kind of service for my own personal protection, i.e. my financial protection and my health protection. You were talking about a digitalized world. You know, as this may come as a surprise to many, but I am a rather introverted person. I don't normally like to, you know, go to parties and all that. I don't normally like to, you know, intermingle with a lot of people. And if something can be digitized, I want it to be digitized, you know, so to speak. I would prefer a WhatsApp message rather than a phone call, yeah, something like that. But when it comes to insurance, I tried to do things digitally. It just didn't work out for me. So I don't know, you know, what is the customer behavior here? Is it something in a point where you will have to digitize anyway this kind of behavior, or that high human touch has to succeed no matter what?
Yeah, I guess that's a very good question. I remember even a few years back, a discussion of digitized and whether digital means will overtake, all the face-to-face channels and all that. I mean, to me, different people have different strokes and their preference in terms of engagement. But to your point, in terms of digital, there are a lot of people, and when we did our customer survey, still need the advice component of it from our Takafu consultants or some of our other channels which provides that advice. What we're doing is we're trying to gel the best of both worlds from digital as well as the need for advice. And when pandemic happened, we actually roll out a remote enrollment option where you can actually sign up for our plan without meeting the agent face-to-face. You can also carry out, we have also rolled out remote servicing option where the agents can actually attend to any servicing requests without even coming face-to-face with the customers. Also, we have digitized a lot of our service requests where customers themselves, I mean, if they don't really, if it's a simple request, they're not keen to just contact the agent with it, a simple request, they can come straight to our customer service, whether it's through call, through emails and all that, and this will all be attended to without even needing to step foot outside the house. So we have actually pivoted from a digital angle to enable from the onboarding to the servicing of the customers without the need to for the customers to even meet face to face with anyone.
Yeah, but it must be a little bit of a cost burden for you guys to continue to employ agents, right? I mean, I don't know. I mean, if I were to lead a company like ProBSN, I would want everything to be automated, even if the customers may have some resistance to it. You want to talk through that with us?
Okay. So for ProBSN, we look at ourselves as truly providing the different options to the different segment of customers. So for example, if a customers want to buy directly from ProBSN, we do have our direct and online channels available in order to purchase directly from the company. But we have launched that, and we have gathered, like I mentioned just now, we have gathered customer feedback and survey on what works and what didn't. And surprisingly, a lot of people mentioned that, for the young ones, right? In particular, they will buy everything online as much as they can. They will do anything online. But interestingly, when we did our customer survey, the results didn't actually show that, because for the young ones in particular, when it involved financial products, right? They are a bit more risk averse, and they feel that financial products, they are making a more longer term purchase. It's different from buying something on Lazada or on Shopee, right? But they are making a longer term commitment, and they need comfort and they need advice. So surprisingly, it's the young ones that actually show the higher tendency to seek for advice with regards to financial products.
Well, let's talk a little bit more about some of the changes that you are expecting to see in the Takaful and the insurance world per se. People are very much in tune to their health protection, even now, even more so than before. The pandemic is going to be transformed into an endemic. COVID-19 is going to be just another SARS-CoV-2 kind of situation, and there's going to be another pandemic just around the corner. We don't know when, and it might not even be a coronavirus. It can be another form of pathogen. This is the world we live in. In the office space, people are moving away from the office, setting up studios. Prior to having this interview, you and I were having a small chat about, you know, people are having little studios like your home, like my home right now. You know, this is the kind of little tweaks that people are changing. But when it comes to Takaful Insurance, what kind of changes do you foresee happening that might impact the way businesses like yourself is run? But more importantly, for consumers like us, what can we expect more from Takaful providers such as yourself?
Okay. Well, I think that's a very good question, and especially a foresight that we all need to have. Not necessarily everyone have the same answer, but I think it's important to be able to have that foresight of what things will be and then how we plan for it. To me, I'll touch on three particular areas where in my mind, how the landscape is going to be like going forward. First of all, is in terms of better segmentation and leading to more personalized service. I think as we can see during the pandemic itself, I mean, that's a phrase that says that everyone is in the same ocean, but not everybody is in the same boat. In fact, everybody's probably in their different boats, and how they cope with the wave of the ocean and the nuances and all that are different. So for the Takaful operated and life insurers per se, they really need to look at this and ensure that they understand the customer segments better. You know, the previous approach of I introduce a product, I introduce a marketing campaign and a hope, and on hopeful for it to be a one-size-fits-all to tackle everyone, that will no longer be relevant going forward. I mean, just a very simple example from what we see on a day-to-day, right? You take the different social media platforms, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok. It applies to the different generation. Even so, for a operator, right? In order for us to even engage and communicate with customers, you can't just use, example, one social media platform and hope that it can just reach your wider audience. It's no longer like that. And that's just one very simple example. And this applies to how you deliver your solutions and how you deliver your services. The second aspect is embracing digital. I know this may be sounds like a motherhood statement, but and it's a given. When pandemic happens, everyone talk about moving into digital. But more specifically for Takaful operators and life insurance, to me, the experience of customers on digital is not being shaped by the industry itself. It's actually being shaped by how customers use their, let's say, e-wallet platform, delivery platform, and other more advanced and bigger platforms out there. And their expectations and experience is going to be shaped by that. Now, for life insurance and Takaful operators and companies like Prubius End, is about how do we take that expectations and apply it to the business. I have to say, we're probably not, the industry as a whole is probably not as advanced as the rest. And this is where we actually need to keep up in order to deliver to that digital experience expectations by customers.
No, sorry, this is the strange bit, right? Sorry to cut you off, pardon me, but this is a very strange bit because, you know, I know companies like yourselves, you have to embrace digital, you have to look into, quite seriously, invest as well, billions of dollars if need be, in insurtech and all that. But why some of your competitors lost out to me is because you guys had the high human touch, strangely enough. And I don't know why this is the case. And you're right, you know, I mean, I consider myself young. Sorry to disappoint a lot of people out there. Despite me being close to 40, I don't care, I'm young. And I'm digitally savvy and I'm highly attuned to the world of the internet. But I still prefer a human being to talk to when it comes to something as important as, you know, thousands of ringgit that I'm going to pay every month. And I do pay thousands of ringgit, just not just for me, but for my wife, for my kids and so on. This product better be damn good. And it has to be damn good in order for you to earn that thousands of ringgit from me. And why? Because you know, it's a partnership, right, between the provider and my between the insurance provider and the client. And here it is. This is the thing that I want to talk about. It's a very strange place to be, because while we all want to embrace digitization, we just cannot let go of that human aspect. I don't know whether this is going to be scalable in the future when you want to build a company, you know, that is you know, future-proof, company that is that can be modulated and built upon quickly. All right, how do you struggle between these two very conflicting ideas? High human touch, but digitization. I know we spoke about it just now, but you know, since you mentioned it again, let's explore this again.
Okay. So I think that's a very key point, and this is consistent with the results of survey. And I think I've mentioned just now, Ibrahim as well, that when it comes to financial products, the young ones, you know, and you are the young ones, right? When they need to commit hundreds or thousands of dollars, and they need to commit for a long period of time, the human touch or the human aspect is still very important to give them that comfort. So for us, it is more about implementing digital or digital technology to enable that to happen in a safe and probably in a more efficient manner as well. So for example, we have activated the remote enrollment option, where it just takes a video call between the agent and the customers to actually talk about the products and provide the advice necessary, and you can actually close the deal, and your coverage and all can actually be activated even in matter of I think the record that we have between submission of the proposal to the activating of the coverage is 15 minutes, as fast as that. So to us, it's using technology to enable that human touch in a more efficient and safe manner. That's the philosophy that we adopt. And we know that the human element is very important in the Malaysian context.
All right. Moving on to your item just now before I cut you off. Sorry to interrupt your speech, but go on there.
Yeah. So the third point is on InsurTech. And if you look at it, the pandemic has actually highlighted some of the pain points that customers have, whether with regards to the purchase or the servicing of their insurance or takaful product, right? Prior to the pandemic, I could see in Malaysian context, at least, probably one or two insurtechs that pop up per year. But I think easily now, over the past 12 months, you can see five or six insurtechs that are really starting up market, trying to address the different pain points of customers. And to me, this will be both disruption and augmentation. And why do I say that? Disruption, which means that in the area where the InsurTech can solve the customer pain point better than the current incumbents, it'll definitely be disruption for the incumbents that exist currently. But I believe that there are space, and we are also working with a few of them, that it can help to complement, it can help to actually provide the value-added services in relation to the customer journey or part of the value chain. And by doing that, it will actually help to grow the pie that we have in order to cater to the customer needs as well. So, I mean, to me, those are the top three trends on how I see the market landscape will evolve going forward.
Yeah, what about the business pillars that you're at right now? Can you share a little bit about which one, which business division is growing, which business is not growing? Is health, for instance, growing, particularly because of the pandemic, or any other explanation to it?
Okay. Well, I would say, actually, if you look at all our business pillars, whether be it from our Takaful Consultants, which is essentially our agency channel, our bank partner, we have three bank partners in the market, and we also have the direct or digital. I would say that actually all three pillars are actually growing in the market, because as I mentioned earlier in my in the talk, that the awareness of the importance of financial protection has increased, And we see the inquiries and requests coming in from all these three different channels itself. In terms of even in terms of the nature of protection, actually both health and probably I would say life in particular have a higher relative growth in relation to health as well, because I think every evening the numbers that a lot of people probably looked at or expect to look at is number of COVID cases, number of deaths, and all, and that actually helps strike a chord in terms of how fragile life is.
All right. Juan, before we end, any last words?
Well, I think for us, my last word is this year we're celebrating our 15-year anniversary. 15 years is actually can be seen as long if you view from the lens of technology or the insurtech. But it's actually relatively short, especially looking at some of our contracts where the term of the coverage, the term of the contract lasts for nearly 100 years, right? Yeah. We have been proud to be here 15 years, being in industry and being the number one family takaful operator industry. This year, the theme of our anniversary is called Your Aspiration, Our Inspiration. And the reason why we choose that is when we look back through our 15 years and we look at, okay, why do we exist? What's our purpose? Why do people buy protection? And essentially, it's about us protecting their aspiration, their dreams. Example, parents have their dreams for their children, you know, to give them the best education. And they buy the protection because of that. And we are protecting that aspiration in relation to the parents. And sometimes it's very heartwarming to see feedback from our customers who says that, you know, the children has gone to New City, and because of the decision they've made many years ago, they're able to actually provide support to their children in furthering their aspiration and their dreams. And for Pruvius End, we will continue to live by that, and this will help to guide us, and we hope to continue to meet the demands of customers, not only from protection, but also beyond protection to other solutions.
Thank you very much. All right, that was our conversation with Juan Saiful Rizalwan Ismail, the CEO of Prudential BSN Takaful. If you've missed any part of this interview, just head on to Astro Awani. Look for Notepad over there. Until then, thanks very much for watching and goodbye.